Hello. Good afternoon, everyone. I hope everything is great on your side. And thank you for your time to physically come to the class and participate. Today is our fifth session of Introduction to Entrepreneurship. Before starting our discussion on the topic, I would like to ask you how is the situation going on, and are you facing any issues or problem with some concepts or in your group work, or how is the situation going on until now? Is everything okay? I got some emails from a couple of students about the group work, and then I sent an email to everybody, because group work is, you know, one very important activity which has a great value in the overall assessment. And I would definitely appreciate all of you to get in contact with your group members and start working on the project, plan it together. And if you face any issues, I am here, and I will also be here after the class. I will be standing here for 10-15 minutes, and we can also discuss more detailed issues after that. Yes, you want to say something, please. Okay. You know, interestingly, last time when I was teaching this course, and the students who were from the non-business background, at the end of the course, some students came to me and they were very happy about the progress and their learning throughout the course. And grade is, you know, it's basically when you are writing and reflecting, you are learning, then definitely the grades will come. So I'm really not thinking much about that. And as per your question about difficulty, entrepreneurship is about difficulties. So entrepreneurs, they do difficult things, they do innovative things, they are, you know, risk takers, they think of a problem. And if there is no difficulty in the course, you know, then it means there is something wrong with the learning phase. At this point, I would suggest is if you are understanding the concepts, what we are discussing in the class, and you are able to, you know, work a bit more on those concepts. As I explained earlier at the start of the course, that this is a basics level course. It's not very advanced course. There are also other advanced courses in the university, and that is the reason my teaching style is very different in different courses. So today we don't have a student, but last time we had student from my other course, organizational design course, which I teach. And if you meet them, they will tell you completely different story about me, how I teach. So it's basically the basics level course. And the whole idea, if you look at the content or the way I am teaching, is to enable you to understand the basic concepts. So you can use those concepts to do more research at your own. And you can, if you are from the non-business background, and this course is just the foundational, the first step. So I am not expecting anybody to be at a very advanced stage in their reflections. But if you look at the criteria in the reflections, there is a, you know, sometimes the students, they just attend the session or watch the video and write something. And, you know, definitely it's not something worth for highest grade. And that was the reason this year I added some more activities into that, like engagement with some videos and with some other literature and some, your own efforts into learning and some of the readings. But it doesn't mean that you have to do all the readings and you have to read like the scientific stuff or the research articles. As a teacher, it's my responsibility that I give, you know, those additional readings also in the slides, and I also mention those. But at this stage, I think if you just read maybe one relevant chapter from the book and you watch the lecture and then you watch simple videos on YouTube with the concepts what we discussed in the class, that should give you enough of understanding to write a good reflection. But as I'm recording this also for the students who are not coming to the class, and that is also the reason that attendance is not mandatory into this course, because students are from different departments. And if I make the attendance mandatory, then it will not, you know, enable those students to even learn these basic concepts. So your yardstick should be, or the criteria you can keep in your mind is that if you are learning the basic concepts, what we are discussing in the class, then you should all be fine. And with this evaluation, the midterm evaluation, which you will submit now in a week time, you will get more feedback on reflections. And based on that, you can improve the next reflection what you will submit at the end of the course. And then also the course project still is there. So you still have, you know, a great chance to get the highest grade possible. To be honest, I think it's too early to, you know, say something about it until I don't have some reflection with me. Sometimes we think that we are not doing enough. It may be your feeling, but it may be a different feeling on my side when I read the reflection. And that will, you know, come next week, and I can give you more feedback when I read that. But if you look at the slides, you know, PowerPoint, usually I don't use so much PowerPoint slides. My teaching is like I just, you know, use very few, but I have deliberately designed these PowerPoint slides in such a way that there is more content on the slides. So I even if you notice that when I am uploading those slides, I use the name lecture notes. So they are basically lecture notes in such a way that there is, if somebody is just reading the slides, he or she still can have a lot of information on the slides which can be used, you know, for further search. But I will give you more feedback in the coming week when you submit your reflection. So at this moment, just be confident, focus on learning, and I can just say it based on the experience of earlier students. Because, you know, there is always this element of uncertainty when there is this assignment or reflection which is a little bit different from, you know, traditional ways. So if we don't experiment new things, we will not, you know, learn new things. So we should be open to experiments, but at the same time, we should stay confident that, you know, good things will come out of it, hopefully. Okay, so if no one has any other question, so we can move to our today's session. But before that, I would like to invite you to maybe look at the classroom, and can you think of some problems in this classroom which can be improved? Do you notice some ways to improve the classroom? Can you please pass on the mic? That would be a great help. Here she needs, and then maybe after that you can. First you can come here. I'm not moving because I will not be in the recording if I will move. Yeah. If you can speak in the mic, it will come in the recording. No, I mean, it's for the students who will be attending online, so they can have, you know, true feeling of the class. So that's the reason I'm not... Anything in the classroom. Okay, what about the physical environment in the class? Can you speak in the mic?
For me, I can't charge my computer in the outlets because I have an adapter, mm-hmm. and it won't fit inside the outlet because it's like in a crease in the floor instead of the wall on the side.
Great idea. Thank you. So, charging sockets. What? Anyone else? Do you think that this classroom is perfect for learning purposes, or there could be some improvements? We students, you know, used to talk about these things routinely. Yep. Can you unmute it, please?
Test. Yeah. Maybe some adjustments to the lighting. Mm-hmm. This for me, it feels depressed a bit. So.
Okay, very interesting. Charging sockets, now we have lights. Anything else? Can you please pass on the mic there?
I would say the seating
order. I think it's muted.
Now, yeah. I would say the seating order, because if you do some like talk in a group, it's hard to like talk with everyone. You have to kind of be like yes, yes, so you don't kind of see everyone. And I would also say the stereos, they sometimes make this weird noise, and you only hear that noise if you sit close to them. So
you know, with the with these small examples, you can just notice that this is exactly what entrepreneurs do. They just don't, you know, take the environment as granted. In the same environment, they look for the problems. What are the problems in the environment? Like you are sitting here and you noticed a problem of, you know, sockets. You noticed a problem of, you know, stairs and sitting arrangements. And different people... It's the same classroom, but different people, they are looking at the classroom and they are identifying. This is called, you know, identification of the problem. That as entrepreneurs, when you, just a few minutes ago, when I did not trigger this thinking, that you look, you started looking at the class environment differently when I asked you a question. So that was a trigger. Because of that trigger, it was the same environment, it was the same classroom where you have been coming and where you have been sitting. But after that trigger, you started to look at that problem in a different way, and you started noticing some of the areas which can be improved. And that is what entrepreneurs do. They look at the environment. And what is that environment on which they look? That is the external environment. They look at the problems in the external environment. They look at the problems what the customers are facing. What are the pain points of the customers? They could be sockets. They could be sitting arrangements. They could be, you know, other problems which are not solved. They could be social issues, they could be climate, they could be issues related to climate change, they could be issues related to technology, they could be issues related to learning. So they could be, there could be many, many, many problems. And the entrepreneurs, they look at those problems when they wear this hat, when they have that lens, you know, entrepreneur lens, to look at the environment, and then they started noticing different features of the problem. And they connect those features of the problem, which is called idea identification, idea generation. And then they evaluate that idea. For example, you guys mentioned about four different ideas from four different people. And when we go to the evaluation stage, maybe we may go with the one idea that, okay, this socket is workable. Okay, let's work on this idea. So you evaluate the idea, which of the ideas is valuable and which of the ideas can be pursued, you know, further. So this is exactly what we are going to learn in our today's session. We will be looking at the external enablers, which is the environment. What is there in the environment which entrepreneurs look at? Then we will look at how ideas are generated. And the third thing will be how ideas are evaluated, which is the opportunity evaluation. So these are basically three things what we will be discussing. I will try to cover all three aspects today, but if we will not be able to cover three aspects today, then we might discuss about the opportunity evaluation tomorrow, because tomorrow we have a guest speaker, and the guest speaker is an entrepreneur, so they usually don't talk about 1.5 hours, so we might have more time at that point in time, if there will be still some discussion needed about the last aspect. So starting from the, so these are the learning objectives. At the end of the session, you can evaluate yourself based on those three elements, that are you able to better understand the environment somehow? Are you still are looking at the environment with the same way? Are you able to look at some of the ideas which you can generate and evaluate the ideas? So that is the whole purpose of our today's session. So if you look at the entrepreneurial process, which is the venture creation process, you can see that here there are basically five stages. And from these five stages, if you look at the first three stages, they are related to idea identification. So you identify a problem, where that problem, that we will talk a bit later. So you identify a problem, and then you generate an idea to solve that problem. When you generate an idea to solve a problem, then definitely you need to create a business. So you create a business, that is the launching of a new venture. When you have launched the venture, then you go to the growth of the business, and sometimes the business might have to exit. So last two stages we will cover, I think, in our coming sessions. That might be session 8 or 9. So they will be in the coming sessions. So our today's session and next session after our guest speaker, our couple of guest speakers, they will be mainly focused on this new venture creation process, from idea to business launch. So these are different steps, different stages, what we will be looking at. But before going further, if you look at this diagram, so you can easily notice that, you know, there are two main big boxes, big sides of this this diagram. And that is, I will also recap what we have studied until now and what we are going to focus. So this is an interesting article, 2003 article. If you look on the left-hand side of this diagram, you will notice that most of those four boxes, they tell you one common thing. And what is that common thing? If you look at those four boxes on the left side, you will notice that is discussion about entrepreneurs. That is discussion about individuals. So we are talking about individual creativity, individual optimism. Weak ties, the second box is related to the social capital. We discussed about social capital already. That social capital is related to your own working team, your friends and family, other investors, other people, incubators, accelerators. So if you notice, they have classified those networks into four types. So all those networks of the person, they come into these social networks. And then if you go at the bottom, you will notice that there is another element which is called prior knowledge. And sometimes, if you also, interestingly, you might have noticed that when I was creating the groups, I deliberately created the groups in such a way that there is a business person and there are people from the non-technical background. So why people from the non-technical background are also very important? Because when you are generating a business idea, you need to have knowledge of the market. You need to have knowledge of the product. And that product many times comes from the technical backgrounds. It comes from IT. It comes from chemistry. It comes from biology. It comes from material sciences. It comes from physics. So you need to have that combination of knowledge. But one important thing you need to remember is that these left-hand four boxes, they are all related to individuals. And that is what we have discussed already. If you recall all our previous sessions, that was the key focus of our first four sessions. We were just looking at the entrepreneur and different elements of the entrepreneurs. And what these boxes are telling us, these boxes are telling us that these four boxes, they influence this right-hand side big box. And what is that? If you look closely, you will notice that it is the new venture creation process. So in that small box, that is the idea, perception, discovery, and creation. It is related to the idea identification. It is related to the opportunity identification, what you just did. And then you develop that opportunity. So when you identify that idea, for example, one idea, seating arrangements or whatever, it's not a full-blown idea. You still need to work more on that idea. You need to discuss with the technical experts. You need to discuss it with the business people. You need to discuss it with investors. Maybe with your close friends and family. So that idea, it doesn't happen like that, that you have an idea, and that idea is in the ready-made form, which can be just implemented. So it doesn't happen like that. So that idea development, you know, take time. It may take months. It may take years to develop a business idea. So all you can see here is on the right. We will discuss more about it. So in this diagram, I just want to show you a comprehensive way that basically entrepreneurship is about two things. One, individual. And the second thing is opportunity. So all this box is related to the opportunity, type of opportunity. And how you identify that opportunity and how you evaluate that opportunity and create a business, that will be the focus of our coming session. So after a few sessions, you will be in a better position to understand two basic pillars of entrepreneurship, the individual and the opportunity. And that is called individual opportunity nexus. And this is the foundation of entrepreneurship. So if we move further on the concept of opportunity. So the concept of opportunity, you know, is the central concept of entrepreneurship, the main concept of this field. That was the opportunity. So I will slow down. I will not go into much details. And if you will have more questions, then we can, you know, talk more about those details. But if you look at the opportunity, if you look at this point number four, that is interesting. So opportunity, what is opportunity before that? Opportunity is basically a situation. It can be defined in different ways. But fundamentally, what is an opportunity? It is a situation where you can introduce new products and services. You can develop something and you can sell that product or service at profit, at value. And how it can be done? Basically, there are two ways. If you look at point number four, discovery and creation. What is discovery? And what is creation? Discovery is something that you look, discovery is like you, there is an opportunity, there is something, and you have discovered that. Okay, this is something what can be done. For example, there is need of, you know, bottles in the university, or headphones, or something which can be sold. There is a need of opening a gym in the market. So you have discovered that and you have started that. But opportunity creation is something that you have come up with some innovative idea like Uber. So if you look at the example of Uber, Uber did not, you know, discover some opportunity. So what they did was they look at the elements in the market, and then they come up with a new solution. They come up with their own opportunity. They created that opportunity. Apple created the opportunity. This ChatGPT OpenAI, they created the opportunity. So it was not like, you know, just discovering something what is there. And then the opportunity can be first person and third person. If you look at the classroom example, what we did at the start of the class, so one person look at the opportunity, and that may be opportunity for that person. But it may not be opportunity for another person. That person may have a different opportunity, and why that is different for different people, this explains. So somebody may have, you know, technical knowledge of this knowledge of markets, for example. Just take that example. So somebody may have knowledge of Indian market, knowledge of US market. So increasing population in India could be an opportunity for someone who knows Indian market. But someone who doesn't know Indian market or who does not have connections in the Indian market, that opportunity is not for that person. But the opportunity is still there. You got it? So that is the reason different people, they look at the opportunities differently. And mainly, it is the individual and opportunity nexus that is the point of focus here. But there is a problem with the concept of opportunity. In 2015, some scholars, do you think it's like opportunity, when you say the word opportunity, it gives, you know, that positive feeling. Okay, there is something which can be done. But then there were some scholars, they came up with the idea that opportunity concept has a problem and there is a need to be more clarity. So instead of going into those details, they came up with these three alternate concepts. So they said that opportunity concept is a wrong concept. And these are the new concepts what Davidson, he proposed. He said that if you, and why it is important, like the basic idea is that you want to understand the, what do you want to understand? So at the start of the session, what we talked about the environment. You want to identify problems and you want to solve those problems. That is the whole idea. So if you want to do that, Davidson proposed that we need three concepts. And what are these three concepts? We need a concept of external enablers. Then we need a concept of actor. And on the right-hand side here, you can also see and compare it with the previous diagram that we still have that new venture creation process here. So it starts with the idea, then it goes with the opportunity confidence, and then you take actions which results into different outcomes. And they depend on the actors and external enablers. But if you compare it with this figure, what is the difference here? Here on the right side, there are different concepts. Okay. We have different concepts here, but they still are new venture creation process. And then if you look at the left hand, there is only entrepreneur here. But if you look at this diagram, you see this external enablers here. This is the difference. So this external enablers come outside. So basically in this session, we will discuss about these three concepts, how they can be used. So what is external enabler? What is the concept of external enabler? Basically, there are three levels. External, what is external? External is something which is outside in the environment or in the market. And then there is the level of this. There are three levels. Sorry. So this is the aggregate level. Then we have this business level. That is the where the idea. And then we have this individual level. And if you notice at these, look at these five things here. So what they show, they are five entrepreneurs here. So entrepreneur A has an opportunity confidence. So there is a venture idea, but this person has a confidence level of 2. The next person has a confidence level of 10. 10 out of 10. So he or she thinks that this venture idea is worth it. I want to pursue it. I want to start it. I'm confident. He or she has evaluated that idea favorably. Then you have this time one. So the opportunity confidence can change over time. So you are learning new skills and this opportunity confidence can change over time. And here you see that there are different venture ideas. So this person has 2 ideas. And he or she is evaluating those 2 ideas. For idea 1, there is this evaluation of 3. And the idea 2, there is this evaluation of 8. So altogether, if you look at this figure, you see that these external enablers, they are related to external environment. And then we come up with this business level, the idea to connect these external enablers, different issues. And then we come to the individual level. So it's basically this individual, and then this organization, and then this external level. So altogether, you can see that it's still the same, the individual and the environment. So these are 2 basic pillars of the entrepreneurship domain. Any questions or confusions? Okay, so the next question is, okay, what are the external enablers? So external enablers are aggregate level circumstances or situations which can affect new venture creation process. What is new venture creation process? So new venture creation process is a process to start a business. So aggregate level, aggregate is the total. Total of what? So total of what that we will discuss. So it is the aggregate level of circumstances, situation that can impact the new business creation process. So they are called the concept of external enablers. And I have included a video here, which you can watch later on. That is the video of the person who is the pioneer of external enablers framework. So how you can see that? This is a complicated diagram. Don't be scared. It's simple. It's simple diagram. So if you look here on your left-hand side, technological, regulatory, demographic, sociocultural, macroeconomic, political, and natural environment. So these are 6 different types of external factors. And if we sum up these 6 factors, that is the aggregate level. So aggregate level, this technological changes, like artificial intelligence, blockchain, other technological changes, what are coming? Do you agree that those technological changes can bring opportunities for the businesses? Then you have regulatory environment. So if there is regulatory environment, there is tax incentive, there is regulation for education, there is regulation. So they can also impact businesses. Society is changing. That can bring opportunities. For example, if you think of example like in Western countries, we have more aged population now. So if there is aged population in Western countries, so it brings different type of opportunities. You got it? So then macroeconomic political environment. Trump has come in US imposing tariffs on the world. So, you know, you can imagine that it can bring different type of opportunities. Historically, so if you look at historic, so it brings it, every, you know, has different characteristics, scope and onset. Then these characteristics impact the business creation process here through these different types of mechanisms. So we can look at them one by one. So historically, these are some of the historical examples which created different opportunities. So when wheel was invented, it brings a lot many opportunities after that. And same is the example of the computers, rockets, and many other examples, which has created many opportunities for businesses. So in that sense, they are the external enablers. Similarly, if you look at 21st century, so we have different type of technologies now. Artificial intelligence is creating massive amount of opportunities and also challenges. Virtual reality, augmented reality, 3D printing, Internet of Things, autonomous vehicles, and then lastly, quantum computing. There, if some breakthrough happens in quantum computing, that's going to change the whole landscape. So these are technological changes which are bringing different type of opportunities for the businesses. Sociocultural changes, examples, birth rate declines, and then migration, more and more people coming. It creates, you know, this. If you look at this picture, what comes, what you can notice in this picture? This is, by the way, AI-generated picture, which I created last year when ChatGPT just introduced this feature. Yes, diversity. Multiculturalism, diversity. Yes, if you see there, you know, these people. So if you look here, you can see these aging population. Then you have birth rates. It's depicted here. If you see, this is, you know, technology, digital connectivity, and social media. You can see here migration and urbanization. You can see in the background. So it took me a lot of time to generate this picture. It created many different types of pictures, and then finally I was able to select this one. But the interesting thing is, like, if you look at this picture, and now you apply the same lens or same thinking, does this situation create opportunities, different type of opportunities, enablers? Are they external enablers? And I think most of you will agree that yes, they are also external enablers. And same is the case with the technology. So these technologies, they are also enablers. Here, the old technologies, they have been enablers. So technological enablers, and these are different types of enablers. Now, if you look at here, political and regulatory changes, Trump tariffs, I think, then immigration policies. Immigration policies in Europe are changing also, and that is creating, you know, different type of opportunities and different type of challenges. If you look, one thing we have covered until now. So what could be the origin of external enablers? They could be political, social, technological. So these kind of changes, you know, all the time they are taking place. So when, as an entrepreneur, if you start with the same example what we started at this class, so when you look at those problems with the question in mind that, okay, these political changes, are they creating some opportunities? Are they creating some pains? Are they creating some problems? These technological changes, these social changes, are they creating some type of pains, and what kind of problems they are creating? If you want to understand that, then these two concepts are very important. these coming concepts. You have to understand the scope. What is the scope of change those external environmental factors are creating? What is the scope? Is it like only impacting some particular geographic area? For example, Trump tariffs, they are more impacting which country? China? Canada, not much, but in China, they have like more than 100%, 145% tariffs. So in that sense, if you look at that external enabler, so it will have more impact on China. And then it will have, you know, less impact on other countries, European Union and other countries which are closely associated with the U.S. Artificial intelligence, is it only creating some geographic area? Or is it impacting all over the world? So the scope, you know, is spatially is broad. So some external enablers, they impact all over the world. Some impact at the national level. Some impact at the regional level or geographic level. Temporal, what do we mean by temporal? It means that is it the short term, like COVID? COVID came, impacted for some time. Where is COVID now? But what about the invention of wheel? It was invented, electricity was invented, and now you can see after, you know, centuries, you still see the impact of those inventions or those kind of changes. Which sector is more, okay, here I can ask you a question. Artificial intelligence, which sector you think is more likely to be impacted by artificial intelligence? Sorry? Which sector, like, is it education? Is it construction sector? Is it like health or what? Everything. But still, if you look at the impact, health is going to be more impacted. There is massive amount of investments going on in health. And there is a lot of development which has already happened in the AI and health, cancer detection and all of that. Even people are saying that. Yesterday, I was watching a CEO of Google DeepMind, and I also heard many people, they are saying that soon we may be in a, you know, time period when there will be no, we will be able to cure all diseases. We may be able to cure cancer. We may be able to, you know, think of a problem, disease, and come up with the medicine next day, for that one person, based on the DNA and genetics and all of that. So there is a lot happening in that domain. And that is like this, you know, sectoral impact. So when you look at the external enablers and you have that mindset and you are looking with this question, okay, so how these external enablers are going to impact the industry in which you are working? Chemistry or whatever field is that. And same is the case with the socio-demographics. That's another way. So if you look at the scope, so two things. One, what we have is external enablers. And the second thing is we are trying to look at the scope of impact of external enablers. You got it? Whether it is broad or whether it is narrow. And that can help us better understand the impact of external enablers for the opportunities. And then another thing could be some external enablers could be very sudden. When you look at them, just like COVID-19, it came out of nowhere. And then everything was disrupted. So it was so sudden. But when you look at the impact of climate change, so do you think that climate change is, you know, creating is an enabler? Yes, it is. But it is gradual. It's not sudden. It's coming. But we are still not, you know, reacting. So that is also another way to look at the external enabler. So if you go back to this diagram, now you can better understand this middle part. So this is scope, and then we have this onset. So we have these external enablers, different types of external enablers, and we can understand the scope of their impact, and then we can understand the onset or the impact, whether it is sudden or not. But we have this new venture creation process here. What does triggering means? What does shaping means? What does outcome enhancing means? That we can look first. And then we will be in a better position to understand these mechanisms. What is triggering? So triggering is when you have external enablers, they can trigger different type of business activities. Artificial intelligence, another example we can take again. So artificial intelligence has created different types of businesses. Climate change has created triggered different types of businesses. COVID-19 triggered different types of businesses. And if you already have a business, these external changes, they can still impact the offerings, the product and service you are offering. They can still impact your business, the venture. They can still impact the process of doing business. Let me take your feedback here. So when we are going to the activity just in few minutes. So please be with me for a few minutes, and then we will do an activity on external enablers. If you look at your work, how many of you are using generative AI or artificial intelligence routinely in your work? Just raise your hands. They are not coming in recording. So it just came a couple of years ago. And now you see most of you are using artificial intelligence for your own activity. So if you look here, it means that the process of doing work has changed because of technological changes. And that technological change, where did it happen? Was it in Finland? No, it was in US. So that technological change came in Silicon Valley, US. Its scope was broad, and it has impacted the way we are doing our work. We are teaching. We are doing our student work. It has impacted the business venture of the universities, working of the universities. It has triggered many different type of business ideas. Believe me, I interviewed somebody. There are only 2 persons in the company. How many? 2. And they have raised $4.5 million. They got funding recently, $4.5 million, only 2 person company. And there are people who are talking about, you know, $1 billion company with only 1 person. And rest all the work will be performed by artificial intelligence based systems. So you can imagine that this has triggered, you know, new types of businesses. And then outcome enhancement is the performance. So do you feel that when you use artificial intelligence, are you feeling more productive? So it has improved your performance. Do you also feel more creative? So some people feel more creative. So it has also improved, you know, that creative performance. So that one technology, that external enabler has impacted this venture. But now the question is, how they have impacted? What are the mechanisms here? So these are different type of mechanisms but I will not talk detail about those mechanisms. So these are different types of mechanisms. You can see them later on. But briefly, I have divided them into 4 different types of mechanisms. So when external changes happen, those changes could be political or whatever, political, social, technological, or whatever. They have a scope. They have onset. And what they do is they can enable you to use less resources. That is this conservation. So now you need, for example, last time you were working, you may need 50 people in your company. But with some new digital tools, you only need 10 people. So you have conserved your resources. Your resources have expanded. government has, for example, given you funding for AI startups or technological startups. So your resources pool have expanded now. So that has enabled you. Resource substitution, AI again has enabled you to substitute many of your resources. Then demand expansion. If there are more, I'm just trying to, you know, go with the same examples what we discussed earlier. So if there is more aged population, so demand for healthcare will increase. If there is more younger population, the demand for education will increase. So demand mechanism, demand substitution. And then we have these different types of mechanisms, generation mechanism. So it has enabled you to generate new products and services. It has enabled you to reduce uncertainty and in the environment with the help of more information. It has compressed your time period, so it has enabled you to do work more faster. So I hope with this you are able to understand the this external enabler framework in a better way. So you can just have a look at this again. And then I think if there will be any confusion, we can do it with the help of this example. So what you can do is, please open this link. And then you can, when you will open this link, you have different types of external enablers here. So these are 12 different external enablers. So in a pair of two, you can select only one. So look at this external enabler. Discuss with the person next to you and write down the spatial scope. What is its temporal scope, and fill in the rest of the columns. And they are all different aspects of the external enabler framework. You can use that external enabler framework diagram, or you have the access to the PowerPoint slides, which you can use to fill these different columns. Maybe first, it would be nice if you can first look at the external enabler framework, and then you can fill in these columns by discussing with the pair, with the person sitting next to you. Maybe what you can do is you can select one external enabler and maybe color it red so the other person don't choose the same external enabler. They can select a different one. Person in the last row, and if you guys can be together, that would be great. And then we have three people here. This one is single, so maybe you guys can join together. And if you guys, Okay, so I think we can pause here for a few minutes, and we can continue the same activity in few minutes. But just let me move to the next part. So now the idea with this activity was, so you can, I noticed the answers there in the Google Sheet, and they are very spot on. So which means that you have got a good understanding of what is external enabler framework and what are the external conditions, what kind of impact they create, and how they can enable different types of businesses. So when you look at external enablers, then you try to look at the problem and come up with an idea. And it brings us to the next question, which I will not talk in much detail. I will just briefly describe about it. That is the venture idea, business idea. So what is a business idea? So business idea basically is your imagination. Imagination about what? So business idea has three elements. And these three elements, when you look at external enablers, you think of three elements, what I can do for in this situation, for this external enabler or external opportunity. And what you think is, first of all, you think of new products. That is the first element of the business idea. And this new product, it can be a service. It can be a tangible product. It can be a football, cars, houses. All these are tangible products. Then you can think of service. Financial service you don't see, but it's still opportunity. It is an opportunity. Healthcare, educational services. Or then you can think of a combination of a product or service. So that is the first element of a business idea, which is the what kind of product and services can be offered, can be designed to avail that external enabler opportunity. So when you are looking at that external enabler. The second thing you look is, who will be the potential users for that? And the third thing you look is, what kind of resources I need and what will be the process to use those resources in order to develop those products and services which the customers will buy. So these are three key elements of the business idea or the venture idea. And that venture idea at the starting stage is the imagination. It can be imagination of the entrepreneur. It can be imagination of the other person. But mainly, it is the imagination of the entrepreneur. So when you look at the potential new market, new geographic market, here is an example. Solar lighting and power products, where they are needed most, they may be very helpful in poor countries in Africa and South Asia, where people, students in the remote areas, they can use those solar lights for their studies, for their educational services. And somebody who has looked at the external enablers of this technology of solar can come up with a solar light which can be sold into those areas, and that can be, you know, a potential opportunity. So same can be the case with the new processes, new combination of resources. So if you look at Jeff Bezos, Amazon. So Amazon was selling books, and then it started selling books online. So the customers were same. The products and products were same. So what was done? Combining the books with the digital resources. Then, so it was a combination of resources. So you can combine different resources to sell the products and services, you know, in a better way. You can design new process to sell the product and service. You can, for example, this e-commerce. So they started selling online. So that was a new process. You can start using new materials, raw materials, like making these chairs. So when they were initially started, the chairs were not like this, not with this material. But now you can see different materials. These computers, initially when they were started, they were different material. But now you can see different materials inside the laptops, inside the computers, and they are also changing. So you can also think of changing the raw material. You can think of changing the resources. You can think of changing the processes, products, and customers. You can go to international markets. And but again, when you are looking at the external environment and the problems there, then you come up with this idea. And this idea basically, you just need to remember that these are three elements of the venture idea that is important at this stage. And how do you notice those ideas? You can observe the environment. You can observe what kind of changes are taking place in technology, what kind of changes are taking place in politics and other external environment. You can network with the right people. You can meet them, just like you are discussing here in the class. You can meet with the right people, discuss with them, and generate ideas. You can generate an idea and get feedback. You can build up prototype. You can do trend analysis. You can experiment with the ideas. So there are different ways of generating idea, but why you are generating that idea? Again, it goes back to the same problem that you are looking at the environment and you have noticed some important problem which you think that should be solved, and you are willing to solve that problem. And because of that, you are generating a new idea which can be done in different ways, and it can be combination of different ways. You can do observation analysis, and you can discuss with your network. You can combine these two techniques, and still you can come up with the new venture idea, just like this smart guy is thinking here, thinking of some, you know, innovative idea, how to jump the tree or maybe the branch of the tree in the zoo from one branch to another branch or from one market to another other market. I like this picture, by the way. Yeah, this is interesting. The more you focus, the more, you know, you get the ideas. Like he is looking at, you know, external environment. He might be looking at what Trump is doing or what artificial, he might be thinking that whether there might be, you know, something in his brain, which can be a chip, computer chip, which can be put into his brain, and he can do some, you know, more creative and interesting stuff. So there could be, you never know, what could be the potential opportunities. He might be more smart than many of us in the future because of, you know, those technological changes. So I'm not going into detail of this. You can read it yourself. The key idea is that most of the times, you have to change your ideas on the way. You start with one idea, and then you may change the idea in many different ways. You may change the market, you may change the core technology, you may change the resource. So the idea is not final. It's always like you just start with some idea and then you keep improving the idea. And it changes over time. That is called idea pivots. That is the technical term for ideas, which you can search more. And when you have the idea, you discuss it with other people. You discuss it with your friends and family. You discuss it with the funders. You discuss it with the network. And what you discuss, what are different aspects of the business idea you discuss? So you discuss about the problem you are trying to solve. Why you need to discuss it with other people? For example, if you are discussing it with your family and you are discussing it with your potential investor, will you discuss the same things? No, they are interested in different things. But overall, these are five aspects of the business ideas. When you are communicating business ideas, that is the idea pitching. There are competitions of ideas that take place where you pitch the ideas. So different information, different content you need to tell to different audiences. Financial, they are interested, investors are interested in profit. But someone may be more interested in innovation. What is different your business is going to do? Someone may be interested, what is for the customers? Are there any customers for your product? So these are different aspects of the business idea. And this table I included from the book. You can have a look at the table. It gives you that when you are discussing, it's a generic guideline. When you are discussing with your family, so it can be 15 minutes and what you need to discuss, what should be the content of the idea. But mainly, it will be from these six aspects. And it can give you more guideline, what you need to discuss at which stage and with the who are the audiences. So ideas can be incremental and ideas can be radical. I think we should not discuss this much more detail. Incremental is something, we have this mobile already, we have cars, so every year there are new models of the cars. So they are incremental additions. But when the electric vehicles came, they are, you know, not incremental additions, they are radical change from what is already happening in the market. So if there is an idea which is radical, very radical, so it will need more courage, it will need more risk taking, it will need more resources, it will need much more thinking. And if there is an incremental idea, it will not need all of that. And ultimately, the radical idea will create more value and more profit. And the other idea, which is not radical, it will create not that much profit. So these are two types of generic ideas. So with that, I think we have discussed about the idea briefly. And now, if you open this file, it is a different sheet, but it will have the same external enablers, what you have chosen. So you can see which external enabler you chose previously, and then with your pair, think of a business idea for that external enabler, and then list down the three key elements. These are three I have divided into four. So one is the what is the new venture idea, and then what is the product you want to offer. The other one will be what is the target market and what resources will be needed. Lastly, what will be the processes, what will be needed. So it's a small thinking exercise which you can do in next few minutes before we wrap up the session. Opportunity confidence we will discuss tomorrow after our guest speaker. So this is interesting. Somebody has just mentioned about wealthier people who want to stay ahead. So sometimes it also is the case that you start with the customers and then you create the idea and then you create the product. And it can also happen that you can come up with the idea first and then you can look for the customers. So it can happen in both ways, but there should be a fit of the product and the customers. Yeah, it seems like this process question is tough. Okay, thanks a lot. So with one question, and then we can just wrap up our today's session. It's a voluntary question from you. So you have worked on these different ideas. Can you tell me, like, this idea, for how many people this idea is related to their background education or background experience? For you? Three? What about you guys? Somehow, is it related to background of one of you or two of you? Huh? Sorry? Little bit related. Okay. And what about you guys? Your idea was somehow related to background of any one of you? Little bit. Okay. 5%. Okay. And what about here? Okay, so with that, you know, why I ask that question? Because generally, when you are thinking of the new business ideas, they generally are linked with your past experiences. You generally start from there, and then you think of ideas, and then you look at the problems, what can be solved. And generally, I would say that it's a very interesting start when you have a combination of different expertise or different people with the different backgrounds, where somebody is more domain expert or expert into a particular field, and then you start looking at the problems in that field. What is related to your expertise or what is related to your area of experience? And then you start looking at other people, other resources who can be potential team members, who can be potential co-founders, who can help you with the business idea. So with our today's session, I am just ending it here that, you know, there have been problems in the world throughout the human history. There are massive problems in the world right now. And there will always be problems in the world which will need entrepreneurs to solve those problems or those issues. And those solutions to bigger problems, the problems of the world, the bigger we think, they start from an interesting idea. And when you start from that idea can change over time, it can refine over time, you can get other people on the way when you are into this entrepreneurship journey. And then at a stage can come that you can be successful. But, you know, coming to the end, just last few words, it's not only that you should think of the ideas as creating new businesses. We all should start thinking of the big problems, and the discussion of our today's session was mainly focused on two things. If you want to take away, what is the key takeaway of our today's session? That was, I tried to give you some way to look at the external environment, how we can look at the external environment in a different way. So we started our session from our class activity, and then we looked at different types of external environment, and we tried to create different ideas. And definitely those ideas cannot be created in few minutes like you have in the class. They need much more time, they need much more thinking, they need more observation, they need more research, they need more discussions, and they need much more effort and resources that you can put in your life by considering your domain expertise and also looking at the other problems, what are there, what you can solve. If you look at the earlier slide, that was the entrepreneur. So with your knowledge, experience, network, which problems you can solve. And if you are weak in some aspects of your personality, some aspects of your learning, knowledge, networks, you can try to develop those areas in order to identify the problems and solve those problems. So our tomorrow session, we will have a guest speaker. He is an entrepreneur. Last year he came and his session was very interesting. Students really enjoyed his session. And that is the reason I requested him again to come and speak. And I would definitely appreciate all of you and also other people who are online to especially come to the class whenever there is guest speaker, because, you know, they expect people in the class. Otherwise, there is no motivation for them to come to the class and share their experiences. And these frameworks, and then we will look at the practicalities tomorrow. Again, thanks a lot for your time and attention, and have a very nice rest of the day, and see you tomorrow. Thank you.